Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church, Madrid. It's wonderful to have you here today. I love the new verse that we have. This is basically the theme of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And we're going to talk about workmanship today. This is number 2 in our long, slow study of the book of Ephesians. The theme is life together in Christ. There's two parts to that. It's your life together in Christ, and it's our life together in Christ. So there's always this double play in it. We're only doing basically 2 verses a week. It'll vary a little bit. But today, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, commendations to Sabatina. She read not 14 verses, it's 3 through 14. I don't know if you noticed, but we put the ESV up there, and there might have been some commas, but that's 202 words. In Greek, it's the longest single sentence in the Bible. And because it's quite a few words and quite a few sentences, we will be taking our time. We'll read that each week over the next few weeks. But I want you to stop and think for a minute. Where is your ideal place to live? Now, I've had the privilege of living in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of southern Colorado, or the valleys of sunny New Mexico, or the hot and humid subtropical hills of Taipei for many years along the beautiful, refreshing winds of the Tokyo Bay, and then a season in the hot deserts of southern California, and now, by his grace, in the metro of Madrid. So are you more blessed if you live in Hawaii or Machu Picchu? What's your preference? Have you ever considered what it means to be truly blessed? Not just in I found a 20-year-old note in my old coat pocket kind of way, but in a deep, eternal, life-altering way. Paul begins this letter to the church in Ephesus with an explosion of praise. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in these 2 short statements, he unpacks profound truths, so profound that we should change the way we see ourselves and our lives and our God. He doesn't start with what we need to do, but with what God has already done. He begins with a doxology, a song of praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why this praise? Because God has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Let's pray in praise. Father, we praise you. All praise, all glory, all honor, all worth, all value belong to you, because you are worthy of all worship, adoration, honor, respect. You are glorious and beautiful. And in your grace, you've given us all of your blessings. And Lord, I know that's hard for us to comprehend at times, but Lord, show us through your word what you want us to hear as a message from you today. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, the thoughts of our mind, and everything we say and do be pleasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's run through this. First thought is the riches of our spiritual blessing. And we're just going to break this down a little bit. The first thought is every spiritual blessing. Paul uses the word every. Now, if I ask you, you know, how many blessings do you think you are? How many blessings do you think the Lord gives you? Would you use the word every? You might use a lot or a bunch or I'm not sure how many. But Paul, in this letter to you and me, because it is to the church, uses the word every, the complete and fullness of God's provision. Nothing is lacking. Not some, not a few, but every blessing is for you and me who are in Christ Jesus. And then the second thought, in the heavenly realms, these are not earthly, but spiritual blessings. They are eternal, life-giving, and transform the inner being of you and me. This is a critical point, because I think in our world and in Christianity, sometimes we tend to think we deserve earthly things. And I'm not saying that God does not provide, because all provision is comes from our sovereign Father, right? But what Paul is talking here is not earthly blessings like a new car or a big house. These are spiritual blessings, blessings that relate to our eternal life, our relationship with God, and our spiritual reality. So what are some of the examples of these blessings? I can't list them all because there are thousands of them in here, but just a few are forgiveness of sins, probably the most profound point of salvation, the blessing that you and I are given when we confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are cleansed from all sin, all unrighteousness. We'll unpack that a little bit more this morning. The promise of eternal life, right? Though our bodies will die, our physical entities will cease, you and I will never experience death. We are in his kingdom. Therefore, we are experiencing eternal life because though our flesh wastes away, we will never end. We have the promise of eternal life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You and I have this beautiful light, power. It's almost impossible to explain the glory of God that dwells within us as a promise of the relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Adoption into the family, right? You and I are sons and daughters. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. As messed up and as crazy as we are, right? We're family. We're adopted into this beautiful kingdom, a family of God. Access to the Father in prayer. Summer of Psalms, we did that over and over and over again. We have 365, 24/7, complete and full access to the throne of God. We sang about that earlier. These are riches beyond measure, and they are all for you and me in Christ Jesus. So, in Christ. You might get tired of it, I hope you don't, but I challenge you as you look at Ephesians, how many times is in Christ talked about? This is the major theme, right? Life together in Christ. You will hear this over and over again. So to be in Christ is to be connected to the source of all life and blessing. It means that his righteousness is our righteousness. Do you get that? Do you understand that his righteousness is given to you? You don't have to create your own. Yes, we choose to participate with him, and we're given that freedom, that option, but you have his righteousness. That's amazing. His victory is our victory, right? We don't celebrate our own. And his blessings are our blessings. We don't earn these. We receive them by faith. We receive them by grace. They are a free gift of God, an inheritance that is now ours. And that, if there's a reason for praise, that's enough. But the second thought about in Christ is union with Christ, this coming together, this being, this remaining, this existing, this returning. It's living in right relationship with Christ is the source of our spiritual wealth. This should fill us with a sense of gratitude and security. We are not spiritually bankrupt. We are not running on empty. We are spiritually wealthy heirs in the kingdom of God, recipients of every spiritual blessing. Amen? Okay. Now, the foundation of our election. Just two thoughts from this. You notice I'm only doing half a verse, so this is 1:4a. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. So imagine for a moment an artist who's preparing his life work. Now, this isn't just any normal artist. This is a master craftsman. He knows every detail about color and light and shape. And even before he touches the clay, or even before the marble has been quarried, he has in his mind's eye all the details, all the form, all the beauty of this work of art. Now imagine that this work of art is you. Before a single star ignited, before the earth was formed or a river or lake was filled with water, God had a vision of you. This wasn't a vague idea or a hopeful thought. It was a clear, perfect, and beautiful design. He saw your personality, your passions, your strengths, and your vulnerabilities. He knew the path your life would take, even to Madrid. He saw your struggles that you would face and the moments of triumph you would experience. He chose to love you, not for what you would do, but simply because he wanted to. This is the incredible message of Psalm 139:16. We didn't have time to cover this summer. Your eyes saw my unformed body. In the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The master artist knows his work. He loves his work. And the masterpiece is so much more than what we can see today because he's still working on us. His love for you isn't a reaction to who you have become or who you will be someday. It's the very foundation of who you were always meant to be. Even before he made the world, God loved you, and he chose you. So, he chose us in Christ. Now, Paul takes us, like I just went through, back in time, not just to our birth, but way, way, way back to before the creation of the world. He writes that God chose you before he made anything else. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's almost impossible to understand. So some of the things in the Word that are impossible to understand, we just take them by faith and know that before one star burst, God knew you and loved you. And that's an amazing reason for praise. Now, this is in part the doctrine of election. And we'll spend a few minutes on this. It's a profound and sometimes challenging truth. But Paul doesn't present it here as a topic for theological debate, but he presents it as a reason for praise. So we need to keep that in perspective. God chose us. He set his love upon us. This wasn't an afterthought. You weren't a plan B before the first star hung in the sky, before the mountains were formed, before a single person drew a breath. God knew you and he chose you in Christ. Now, the word in most versions is predestined. There is foreordain or foreknowledge. The New Living Translation, like we've been using this morning, is God chose you. It's to be chosen, right? And I think the reason for the TV series being called The Chosen is because they, you and I, are the chosen, okay? But the word in the Greek, and again, not a Greek expert here, but it's pro as in pre, that's the word for pre, and orizo. Now, I didn't say chorizo, right? You got to watch that. It's pro orizo because it's H-O-R-I-Z-O, but the H is silent. And this means to pre-establish boundaries. And I think one of the reasons why I don't personally like the word predestined is because if you break that down, destined, the subword is destination. And yes, there is some truth here. You and I who are in Christ Jesus are destined for an eternity with Christ, right? We've established that, okay? But it doesn't just mean after you die, right? I am preordained to have an existence with God from the moment of my salvation, okay? And I'll even say that even before that, God was preparing the heart for the day when you and I would come to faith in Christ. Okay, because for some of us, we grew up in the body of Christ. We learned very young the words. We sang the songs. We went to church, and we understood. But there was a day, there was a moment when before that time, I was not born again, right? I was born physically, certain date. I was born again on a certain date. And for it, each of us, it may be a journey, but there's a point where before I was not born again, but Jesus said, you must be born again. Born of water and the Spirit. And from that point, I am born again. At that point, I have been planned, chosen by God to be in him, right? And so it's like God set the boundaries by which you and I could enter into the kingdom. Does that make sense? He had to make some rules, right? Sin, forgiveness. He had to set a plan. And yes, in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned. And that meant we're all born into a sinful world. We all participate in that sin nature. We are all without Christ. But God set about a plan so that at the right time, Paul says in another book, Jesus came. And he is the means, the boundary by which you and I move from darkness into light. Right? We accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We receive his mercy. We receive his grace. And we are born again. Right? We are baptized into the family of God. We're adopted heirs in his kingdom. We are in Christ. This is the most important thing that we can be talking about. It means your salvation is not an accident. Your faith is not just a lucky guess. It's the result of deliberate, loving, and sovereign choice by God our Father. This is something that should humble us and reassure us, giving us confidence. It's not based on anything we've done or will ever do. It's based on grace alone. And before the creation of the world, this was God's plan from eternity past. It's not the reaction to our sin, but a preordained act of love and grace. This truth should humble us and cause us to praise in gratitude, not out of pride or argument, right? Trying to understand how much God loves you, that you are his chosen one. That's a reason for praise. And then the purpose of our calling, and this is Ephesians 1:4b, and it's very simple, to be holy and without fault in his eyes. To be holy and blameless, one version says. So to be holy, And I'm playing again with the we are to be, right? The to be thing. We did the eight, what was the word? Something from the book of Acts. I forgot it. Eight thoughts from the book of Acts about what it means to be a healthy disciple in a healthy church. To be holy. This is the why of our election. We were chosen not just to be saved from something, but to be saved for something. And why did he choose us? Paul gives us the purpose in the second half of verse 4, to be holy and blameless in his sight. So let's talk about holy for a minute. Means to be set apart for God's purposes, to live a life that reflects his character. Okay? So if we're taking on, if we are given the blessing of his righteousness, then our character reflects his character. Right? And you can look and study and learn about the character of Jesus in order to understand what we have been given and what it means to be holy or set apart. And it's an ongoing process, technically called sanctification, being made pure. And what does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. And it's not just set apart as special, like something on a shelf. Oh, how beautiful, right? It's set apart for a purpose. And that's what we're talking about in the book of Ephesians. That's what we're talking about here in Emmanuel. Every one of us has a part, a role, a task with a little puzzle piece in this beautiful tapestry of his kingdom. And holiness is being set apart for that purpose. And your job is to find out what your purpose is and act in it, right? Engage. And the best way to do that is a small group of people on a team, on a Bible study, some kind of a small group, iron sharpening iron, working it out, praying, eating, fellowshipping, laughing, crying, doing all that a small group does. It means to be different, to be consecrated to God. There's another word. We're using a lot of words, consecration, set apart, holy, ordained. It means to live a life that, again, reflects his character, right? We're I've said it before, we're like mirrors, right? That God gives us his glory, and yes, we bask in his glory, just like the glory of the summer sun here, right? I really enjoyed the summer sun this summer. I took in as much as I could, and I loved basking in that glory. But it's not just so I can get darker, right? Vitamin D was my point, because I get really white in the winter. But it's not just to receive, it's to mirror, okay? May my life be a reflection of your glory. And if I'm a mirror receiving the glory of God, what's the best thing I can do? I reflect that glory back to God, right? I'm giving him all the glory. I'm giving him all the praise. It's all about him. It's not about me, right? But I'm also sometimes, maybe in a small group or like here, I'm taking that glory and I'm turning it and I'm reflecting that glory on you, right? And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to reflect his glory, to show everyone you have a place in the kingdom. All you have to do, Jesus said, the kingdom's here. Take it. Receive it, right? You are made to be in Christ. He wants you as his son or daughter. He planned a long time ago for you to receive him as Lord and to become his child. It also means to be blameless. And that's our position before God, right? We sang this morning, thank you, team. Before the throne of God I stand. And if you don't know that song, Shane and Shane sing it. It's beautiful, wonderful. Look at the words again, right? I don't deserve it. But before the throne of God, I enter into his kingdom. And what does he see? He sees Christ. He sees his son. And do you understand that? I don't completely, but by faith I accept it. That when God sees you, when God sees me, he sees his son, Jesus. In Christ, we are seen as righteous and without fault because of Jesus' atoning work on the cross. This is our justification. We are chosen to be blameless. This isn't about sinless perfection in this life, but it's about our standing before God. When God looks at who we are in Christ Jesus, he sees us blameless because he sees the righteousness of his son. We are covered by the blood of the perfect lamb, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what does Paul say in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you condemned? No. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Why? Because all that condemnation was washed away. And we can live and walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. Because we are in Christ. Because he paid the price. So, let's wrap this up. Bring this all together. We are blessed to be holy. We are recipients of every spiritual blessing, and these blessings are not a reward for our holiness. They are the power and provision for it. We were chosen not because we were holy, but so that we would become holy and be in Christ to be holy. Our election is the foundation of our holiness. The fact that God chose us before the time began gives us a deep sense of security and purpose. We are not wandering aimlessly. We have been called to a life of holiness. So, how do we live out these truths? First, live in gratitude. Begin your day with praise. Just as Paul did. Thank God for the spiritual blessings you have in Christ Jesus. Don't take your salvation, your adoption, or your forgiveness for granted. Tell God how grateful you are. Second thought is pursue holiness. Our election to be holy is not a passive state. It is an active pursuit. With the Holy Spirit's help, we are putting on the new self and putting off the old self. And we'll unpack that much deeper later. We are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Part of this comes with believing, I am who you say I am. Right? It's a beautiful statement to say to God. First of all, Lord, show me who I am in you. Show me what you think of me. Reveal to me how much you love me. Those are beautiful prayers. And then you can say, I am who you say I am. Not who the world says, not who my fears or my anxiety or my wounds or my hurts say I am. I am who you say I am. And then third, rest in security. Your identity is not in what you do, but in who you are in Christ Jesus. You are chosen, blessed, and called. You are not defined by your past sins or your present struggles. You are defined by God's eternal love and purpose for you. So I wanted to put up the 8 marks, I think is what we call them. Got the right word. It's my name. I should have remembered that. The 8 marks. We are to be a people of the word, right? We are to be a gospel-centered people. We are to be a praying people. We are to be a servant people. We are to be a missional people. We are to be a people of communion, right? I think that's food, yeah. And we are to be a people of fellowship with one another. And then finally, we are to be holy, set apart for God. So, as a part of our worship, I'm going to ask Diego and Elise and Moises and Elena to come forward. And we are going to take a moment to set apart our intern and residents. So come on up on stage. I'm going to move this out of the way. Okay, Diego is a student at our National Cemetery.
Not intended.
Wow. We needed a moment of laughter, right? Diego is a student at our National Seminary with David and Dwayne and others, and he is on loan to us from the seminary to be our intern. I don't have to introduce to you Elise. She is our music resident in leading in worship and praise ministry. And then Moises and Elena are our connections ministers serving us as residents in that role. So I want to invite our leaders, pastors, deacons, team coordinators, anyone who's a leader in the church, would you come and join me because we want to pray over them. Why don't you guys gather in the middle here? And we want to surround you and pray over you. Because we are dedicating them, we are setting them apart for the work that God has called them to do. Each of these are in training for ministry. And we want to lay holy hands on them. We want to bless them in the name of Jesus. And we want to set them apart for the work. So, brothers and sisters, would you stand as we have our closing prayer and our time of dedication? Let's pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give all praise to you. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who sense your calling in their lives and may not know exactly the path that you have, but have said in their heart and in their lives, yes, I will serve you. Wherever you lead, whatever you say, I will do. And so, Lord, we take this moment because you called us to be holy, to lay holy hands upon one another, to anoint each other, to speak blessing over one another. So we pause and we speak Jesus over these, our intern and residents. Lord, we dedicate them for the work that you have here at Emmanuel. And Lord, we want them to be everything that you have created them to be. And we make a commitment to be for them who you created us to be, so that together we can grow your kingdom in the way you want. And Lord, we dedicate their path. We don't know where you have planned for them in terms of long-term ministry. But Lord, we want to be a part of what you have for them here at this moment during this season. Thank you for each of them and the moment they came to faith in you, for the journey that you've had them on up to this point, studying and growing and learning and preparing. And Lord, again, we dedicate them for the work that you have ahead. And we pray all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.